Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. We want to continue our study of reviewing the 5 points of Calvinism. And if you're just now joining us on the program and would like to listen to those previous installments or any of the Let the Bible Speak programs, those are recorded and put on the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ website, wbcoc.org. wbcoc.org. The other place where you can go is thegoodteacher.com. thegoodteacher.com. And you're welcome to any of that material on those websites. We've been looking at the study of Calvinism and comparing that, the errors of Calvinism, to the truths of God's Word. And we have looked at 4 of the 5 points of Calvinism, and this morning we want to look at the 5th and final point. We already looked at total depravity, where Calvin said that man is born in sin. And we compared that to the scriptural teaching that everyone is born upright and innocent. And sin is that which is committed. It's not transmitted or inherited from our parents. Each one is accountable for his own sin. And sin does not eliminate good that a person can do. And so we reviewed total depravity. We reviewed the 2nd point of Calvinism, unconditional election, where Calvin taught that there are no conditions to be saved or lost. God unconditionally elected some to be lost and others to be saved. And yet, we studied from the Word of God that one must obey the works of God in order to be saved. One must obey certain conditions in order to be saved. Obedience is mentioned different places throughout Scripture. One is not saved by grace or faith alone. And we find that election, or the choosing of God, is conditioned upon being in Christ, and one must be baptized into Christ. Then we looked at the 3rd point of Calvinism, limited atonement, where Calvin taught that Jesus died for an elect group only. He did not die for all mankind, but for those only who would be saved. And yet, we saw the scriptural truth and the teaching in God's Word that the blood of Jesus is provided for all mankind. Jesus died on the cross for all mankind. The gospel invitation is for all mankind. God does not want anyone to be lost, but that all should come to repentance, all should come to a knowledge of the truth. And then we looked at the 5th point of Calvinism, irresistible grace, where Calvin taught that those whom God elected to be saved would be called by the Holy Spirit, an irresistible call of the Holy Spirit. Some have called that an experience of grace. And yet, we looked at the Word of God and we saw where the gospel is God's power to save, not a separate work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through His words in the gospel to reach us. And we notice that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the devil can be rejected and resisted. Stephen preached in Acts 7:51 that people resist the Holy Spirit. So instead of irresistible grace, the New Testament teaches that God's grace can actually be resisted. God's grace is not irresistibly given, but freely offered, and no one is forced to take it or reject it. And we notice that man, not God, does the believing and the confessing. Man is urged to repent. There are things that he must do. And then that brings us to the 5th and final point of John Calvin, and that is the P of TULIP, T-U-L-I-P. The P stands for perseverance of the saints, or as it has come to be known, once saved, always saved. Calvinism taught that since some are predestined to be saved, the U of TULIP, and irresistibly called by the Holy Spirit, the eye of TULIP, they will be eternally secure no matter what they do or do not do. They can neither totally nor finally fall away. Once they're saved, they're always saved. And some of the proof texts that they use, several of them come from the book of John, where Jesus says that those who believe will be saved and they will have eternal life. And here is a classic example of Calvinist picking out Bible passages that talk about being saved and having eternal life and not perishing, but they won't read the verses that talk about perishing or falling away. And they don't read the verses that talk about the conditions that one must meet in order to be saved eternally. The well-known passage, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life." So they read the verse, "should not perish," and they say, well, once you're saved, you're always saved. But they ignore the statement, "whosoever believes," present and continual believing. And this belief is obedience. It's not just faith only. And so when one continues to believe, he will not perish. He will have eternal life. They ignore the present tense and continual action of believing as the condition for not perishing and having eternal life. Look at verse 36. They quote this, "He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Again, we have eternal life, but it's he that believes. A person can stop believing, and the Bible teaches that as well. A person can become, a believer can become an unbeliever. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, "Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life and cometh not into judgment." Again, one who continues to hear, it's not a one-time act, but he that hears my word and believes him, one who continues to do that will have that promise of eternal life. John chapter 6 and verse 37 is another verse they read. "All that which the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." When you come to Jesus, you're not going to be cast out. But a person can stop obeying Jesus and believing in Jesus. A person can return and stop following Jesus. That's found later in the chapter, in John chapter 6 and verse 66, many disciples went back and walked no more with him. They stopped coming to him. Some Calvinists will turn to John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who hath given them unto me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." And so they read that and they say, once you're saved, you're always saved. But they ignore the part in verse 27 that talks about the sheep hearing the voice and knowing Jesus and following me. People can stop following Jesus, and they no longer have that promise. So it's a matter of Calvinists reading parts of verses or emphasizing certain parts of certain verses and ignoring other plain statements. What we're going to find here in just a moment is there are four ways in which the New Testament teaches that you can indeed be lost after you're saved. The Bible does not teach once saved, always saved. We're going to see plain statements of apostasy or falling away. Number two, we're going to see severe warnings. Number three, we're going to see certain promises of falling away. And number four, we're going to see clear examples of falling away. But Calvinists ignore those things and read parts of verses that talk about eternal life and never perishing, but they ignore the other parts of those same verses and they ignore other Bible passages. Different passages are appealed to often. Another one is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 13, there is no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is talking about God helping us in our temptation. There's nothing said here about once you're saved, you're always saved. In fact, just a couple of verses earlier, or one verse earlier, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Why say that, Paul, if once you're saved, you're always saved? We can fall. And that is a warning that is given just one verse prior to verse 13. So different passages are read, but others are ignored. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, this is another passage sometimes that Calvinists will turn to allegedly prove once saved, always saved. And this is an example of giving a promise without looking at the rest of the verse. Peter says that we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We're guarded by the power of God. Absolutely. But Peter says through faith. That's our doing. And we can stop having faith. 1 John 5, 1 through 3 is another passage of scripture that individuals who try to defend once saved, always saved will turn to. 1 John 5, 1 through 3. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God, and whosoever loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Again, all of these are promises and statements, but they are conditioned upon whosoever believes. Present tense and continuing action. And we have to keep his commandments, verse 2 and 3. We have to have faith to continue overcoming the world. And so the Bible is full of promises, and we need to preach the promises of God, the promises of eternal life, and the confidence and assurance that we can have. But we also need to balance that with the truth of staying faithful to God, the conditions that must be met in order to have the promises. We preach the promises of God and the hope and the bright future for a Christian. But we also preach what the New Testament teaches, and that is the possibility, not the necessity of falling away or the desire to fall away, but the possibility of falling away. We have to be realistic with the truth, and that is falling away is a possibility. And that runs directly opposite of what Calvin taught, that once you're saved, you're always saved. There is no possibility. So, let's look at four ways in which the New Testament teaches the possibility of apostasy or falling away. First of all, there are plain statements in Scripture of falling away. Let's look at the first one in Luke chapter 8 in the parable of the sower. We find in Luke chapter 8 verses 12 and 13, and those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. Somebody says, well, they were never right to begin with. No, the text says that they heard the word. Verse 13 says they receive the word with joy. They obey it. but then in time of temptation, fall away. Verse 12, the devil takes it away. So a person can hear the word, receive it with joy, and then later fall away. That's very plain. The Apostle Paul, when talking about Christians who were being drawn back to the old law and binding that as a condition of salvation after the old law had been done away with Christ, some were teaching elements of the old law as a condition of salvation like circumcision, and they were getting people to follow them, and Paul warns them, if you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, you are fallen away from grace. That's a plain statement. And he's talking about Christians. You can't be severed from Christ, cut off, brought to nothing, if you're not first in Christ. He's talking to Christians. You are fallen away from grace. That is a plain statement of apostasy. Here's another one. James chapter 5, verse 19, my brethren. Notice he's talking to brethren. If anyone among you, the brethren, err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he who converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. This brother who has erred from the truth needs to be converted. And when he's converted, when he's a sinner, and he's converted from the error of his way, he will be saved from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. This is clearly talking about a brother who has erred from the truth, and he's lost in sin, and he's going to die spiritually if he does not convert and change and come back to the Lord. In Jude verse 24, now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish and exceeding joy. If once you're saved, you're always saved, why do we need God to guard us from stumbling? Because it's possible to do that very thing. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, in talking to Christians in the church at Sardis, John wrote, Jesus speaking to them through John wrote, he that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. Well, why say that if it's impossible to be blotted out anyway? Jesus said that because the possibility of being blotted out is there. Your name is written in when you become a Christian, and it can be blotted out when you live unfaithfully, as some of these Christians at Sardis were doing, and they needed to repent, verse 3. So plain statements of falling away. You are fallen away from grace, Galatians 5, verse 4. You can't be any plainer than that. The second way in which the New Testament teaches the possibility of falling away or the possibility of apostasy is by offering severe warnings of apostasy. Severe warnings. Jesus warns in John chapter 15 that if his disciples do not bear fruit, spiritual fruit, in their obedience to him, that he will cut them off. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. We're talking about disciples who are abiding in the vine. Jesus is the vine. The disciples are attached to the vine as branches, but if they're not bearing fruit, they're going to be cut off and cast forth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul gives the importance of running the Christian race and living properly and exercising self-control. And Paul says, I buffet my body and bring it into bondage or subjection, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. Somebody should have told Paul, don't worry about that. Once you're saved, you're always saved. No, he knew better. He knew that he must completely bring himself even as a Christian, he's writing this as a Christian and an apostle to bring himself into bondage so that after he had preached to others, he would not himself be rejected. We already read 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Take heed, that's a warning. Well, if you can't fall from grace, Paul was just wasting words there. But we can fall. And so the need for severe warnings. Paul talks about the goodness and the severity of God and those who fell. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, the book of Hebrews, there are several places that warn Christians of falling away from Christ. In fact, it is so plain in the book of Hebrews about this matter that books have been written and many articles have been written, and I have some of them from Calvinists and others who labor hard to try to overturn the plain statements of falling away in the book of Hebrews. Some will do things like the writer of Hebrews mentions things like this to encourage Christians to remain faithful. They really can't fall away anyway, but that was his way of trying to encourage them to be faithful. He warned them that they could fall away when really that's not what would happen, but that's the way he chose to do it. Silly things like that. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed, that's a warning, to the things which were heard, lest haply we drift away from them. Chapter 3 and verse 12, take heed, brethren, that's a warning. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you, brethren, an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. How can it be any plainer? But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you, brethren, be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Falling away from the living God. It is a reality. Can you imagine our parents warning us against a particular danger, and that danger didn't even exist in reality? How unkind of our parents to do that. God does not warn us of falling away when it doesn't really exist. That possibility exists. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. Hebrews 10, 26. Speaking of brethren, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. Somebody should have told the Hebrew writer, quit scaring these people. Once they're saved, they're always saved. Quit scaring them with warnings of things that aren't actually going to happen. No, the Hebrew writer speaks the truth. The possibility of falling away is real. And so the warning must be urgent. Can you imagine warning signs on the highway warning us of a curve ahead where the curve is not really ahead? Warning us of slippery pavement when it's not slippery. Warning us of a detour when there's no detour. Warning us of a dead end when there's no dead end. Warning us of no shoulder when there is one actually. And on and on and on. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Follow after peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord, looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby the many be defiled. Lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, we have similar statements there. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, if it's conditioned upon adding to our faith. That starts back in verse 5. If you do these things, you shall never stumble. Well, if you don't do them, then you will stumble. And there are other passages. Let's turn now to the third way in which the New Testament teaches the possibility of apostasy, and that is the certain promise of apostasy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul says that there will be a falling away or an apostasy. The Spirit says expressly that in latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of demons. You can't fall away from the faith unless you're first in the faith. This is talking about Christians falling away. So there is that promise and prediction that it will happen. And then number 4, there are clear examples in the New Testament of people who are right with God, believers, Christians, in the case of Simon the sorcerer, who fell away. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8, verses 20 through 24. We find a newly baptized Christian. Acts 8:13, Simon is baptized. But in verse 20, when he offered money to have the ability to lay his hands on people and they would receive the Holy Spirit, Peter said in Acts 8:20, thy silver perish with thee, because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, this of thy wickedness, and pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee. This was right after he was baptized into Christ. He is in apostasy. There are people who are named as falling away or making shipwreck of the faith. 1 Timothy 1:19-20. 1 Timothy 5:12. 2 Timothy 2:18. We read about Hymenaeus and Philetus and different individuals who have made shipwreck of the faith. They have fallen away. And we need to take that very seriously. And when they're named by name, these are actual cases of individuals. 1 Timothy 5:12, some who have left their first pledge, literally their first faith. In Hebrews 6:4-6, there are those who have tasted of the good word of God. They've obeyed the gospel, and they fall away, verse 6, Hebrews 6:6. They crucify to themselves afresh the Son of God. Friends, we can fall from grace. There are plain statements, severe warnings, certain promises, and clear examples. Will you simply believe the truth, or will you follow the false teaching of the 5 points of Calvinism? Tune in to us with us next week. We have one more installment where we want to look at some consequences of Calvinism. And so we hope that you'll join us next week on the program. We hope that you'll open your Bible and let the Bible speak. We're not interested in what man teaches, but what God says in His Word. And that's what this program is all about. We're so glad that you joined us. Keep tuning in. Thank you for being with us today, and have a good day.